Hi everyone, welcome to episode 67 of Flickering Dreams. We've got Scott, we've got Bob, and you've got me. Unfortunately, Emma can't be with us tonight. I've been really looking forward to this episode because we are going to be reviewing Godzilla times Kong, the new empire. And I am desperately hoping that through the course of this episode, I will learn exactly what was going on with this film. Because when watching it, I didn't have a clue. So let's see a clip and then we'll get Scott to explain and enlighten us as to what Godzilla vs. Kong was all about.
No pressure.
Welcome to my world. Won't you come on in?
This world has more secrets than we could possibly imagine.
Miracles, I guess. Still. Now and then.
What is that?
That's not Kong.
So, Scott, take it away. Tell us what you thought. Tell us what was happening.
That may be a more difficult challenge. So, just a setup to this. The last two films are Godzilla vs. Kong, 5 out of 10. Godzilla King of the Monsters before that, 4 out of 10. I've not been a fan of these American films that have got Godzilla in them. This one, I didn't have high expectations, obviously, but I just thought it was so much fun. And for some reason, I was able to not think about the logic and the problems with simple things like making sense. So...
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think you have to, actually, in order to enjoy it. So we see that Kong, after the events of the last film, is now in Hollow Earth, which is essentially like a prehistoric world in the middle of our Earth. Godzilla is still up in our surface level, swanning about, sleeping in the Colosseum, just chilling for the most part. And we're told that they shouldn't be in the same place. Keep them separate and things should be fine. What we learn is that Kong is a little bit lonely down in Hollow Earth and he needs more. When he finds that there is something more, this leads to quite an emotional storyline for me. Well, emotional is a strong word, but there was a bit of a sensitivity in the storyline that I quite got into and I quite liked. Meanwhile, there's these seismic activities that are going on, and we've got a girl who's reading sort of... Okay, yeah, you're right. This
keep
is very
going,
difficult.
Scott. Keep going.
So she's telling there's something going on, and the connections between Godzilla and Kong must collide because of a greater cause and a greater threat that's coming from underneath. I know I'm doing a terrible job at trying to explain it because it's an impossible film to try and explain properly.
It's a terrible plot.
It's a terrible film.
Okay, plot aside, let's forget plot because it doesn't really matter.
Forget the
This plot. Film has so much really fun CGI fights going on. I think there's humour. And this is a big thing that was lacking in the others. The human characters in this film, which are mainly just kept to four, are actually worth having. Because we've got Rebecca Hall and the girl who's her adopted daughter, and we've got an emotional storyline going on there about a little bit with like Paul Rudd in Ghostbusters, where what's her place and as a step-parent and how much can she do to connect? And then the two others. You've got Brian Tyree Henry and Dan Stevens, slapstick gold all over the place. I found both of them very amusing, constantly making me laugh. And I got so much out of that. And then, yeah, you've got the big monster fights at the end, which are super ridiculous. But in this case, for some reason, I found it more fun than I did in the previous installments. I'm going to kind of leave it there because, as I said, plot doesn't matter. It's I just thought it was fun and funny.
Okay. Bob, you might have a slightly different take on this, I think.
I found this bone-numbingly awful, I have to say. I mean, a film I mean, Godzilla Minus One is my experience of Godzilla this year, and this film makes Godzilla Minus One look like Citizen Kane. It really, really does. At one point, Dan Stevens, who I did enjoy, all blue-eyed, kind of Han Solo, what's that line? Ace Ventura, dippy shitty stuff. I thought that was funny. That was funny. That did make me laugh. Dan Stevens uttered a line, while we're throwing shit at the wall, right? And I thought, yep, that just about sums up everything that was happening in the writer's room for this film. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever, right? These portals that go from the hollow earth up to the earth. I looked it up. The surface area of the earth is 510 million square kilometers.
Dedication to duty. Right?
510 million square kilometers. But these monsters only ever come up and arrive at some...
At one of the seven wonders of the world, which probably world. Gets destroyed.
Yeah, seven wonders of the world, right. Oh, here we are, at the pyramids. Let's smash them. Not just all one, no. We're going to take all three of them out, right? Let's not leave a pyramid standing. God, they seem to be quite happy to the fact that Godzilla roams into the middle of Rome. Smashes everything down, doesn't actually hit the Vatican, but just about everything
the collateral
else.
Collateral damage is incredible.
Goes to sleep
it,
in the Colosseum.
Can I just say about him going to sleep in the Colosseum? When he wakes up, those Roman builders are absolutely fantastic because he wakes up, he crashes his way out of the Colosseum. At the end of the film, he goes back to the Colosseum. They've rebuilt it. Absolutely stunning. Can we not get them on our, working on our roads, those Roman builders? Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, I just found it ludicrous. Crashy, bashy, monster stuff without any kind of soul or heart for me. I thought Brian Tyree Henry, who is a far better actor, far too good an actor for this film, was quite good and quite amusing in the film. But otherwise, honestly...
Estimated death count.
It's just a special effects blitz. Acting is wooden. Rebecca Hall, great actress, but she didn't impress me in this. And young Kaylee Huttle, who plays the young girl, she had a fixed expression on her face for like 90% of the film. It was like Leo DiCaprio's grinning like that through Killers of the Flower Moon. But it was just anyway, I'm ranting enough. We're running out of time. Andy.
I just ditto everything Bob said. I mean, I was really upset to see the pyramids go. I was amazed at the speed that the Roman construction crew got back in and repaired the Colosseum. At least Godzilla's keeping people in work in Rome, which is nice of him. As you say, Bob, I think from now on all films of this nature will probably be judged by Godzilla Minus One. And that was outstanding. That was incredible entertainment. And what that film had, Scott said plot doesn't matter. What Godzilla Minus One had was a plot, rather a story that made sense. This made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I didn't have a clue what was going on. And I thought some of the CGI was actually pretty ropey. So I echo what you said, but I thought it was a terrible, jumbled, monster mess of a movie. Scores on the doors, gentlemen. Scott.
I must have lost my mind, but I've given this one 8 out of 10 for some reason.
So as a reverend, I'm now going to start praying for your cinematic soul.
Thank you.
Bob? I gave this one a 4. And
yeah, I gave it a 4 as well. So that I'm no good at maths, so somebody quickly do the maths. 16
divided by 3 is 5.
Makes it a miss. It's a miss, folks. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. Tune into our next episode. If you can subscribe, that would be great. Do send Bob an email to, he'll give you his email address right now.
BobTheMovieMan1@gmail.com.
Let us know your thoughts. We'd love to get them. Watch out for our next episode. Thanks for joining us for this one. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for listening or watching Flickering Dreams. You can find the video version on YouTube and the audio version on all major podcast platforms. And don't forget to subscribe so you can get each of the weekly episodes as they are released. We'll see you at the movies.